In 2009, the Lotus Riverside apartment complex fell over in Shanghai. Why? No foundation. Let me give you another one. We've seen that one. That was close to the beach and fell. And the whole thing about these two is they built beautiful structures, but they had no foundation. But let's move closer to home. In 1995, the Olympic Committee built dorms for the Olympic athletes in Atlanta, which now house the Georgia State University dorms. And of the two buildings they built, one in 1995 had sank 9 inches, and the other one 6 inches. And if you drive by, you can see them on I-75 and 85. And the reason, when they came in, found out was they put it on a mat foundation or a concrete foundation on poor soil. The foundation was the issue. A foundation makes a house or breaks a house. And that's what Jesus is going to talk about today. He tells us in the Sermon on the Mount about two builders. One is wise and one is foolish. And Matthew puts it to the very end. And before Jesus tells this, he says there's a narrow and a broad way to life. There's a narrow gate. And there's the broad gate. The narrow gate is you can't take all your garbage with you. And the broad gate, you can just go any way you want to go. And then he says there's a tree that doesn't bear any fruit that's burned up. And then he comes and he tells this parable. This is the most forceful thing that Jesus says early in his ministry. He says you have two choices. You can hear me and obey. You can hear me and not obey. It's your choice. But both have consequences. We're going to look at the parable of two builders today. So in Matthew 7, if you'll turn there, beginning with verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears the words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone hears these words of mine and does not act on them would be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against the house and it fell and great was its fall. Jesus told this parable for two reasons. So that they would understand the extreme importance of what he was teaching and who he was. And that the audience would understand it's not enough to hear. There must be obedience. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Jesus says there are two builders. And let's look at that for a minute. They have so many things in common. It says, therefore, everyone who hears says that both men have heard. Now, there's a difference between hearing and understanding. Let's say at the end of today's message, I would say to you, you have heard the gospel, and you will have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ today. But if you were sitting here and you were only a Spanish-speaking person and you knew no English, you heard sounds, but you didn't hear the gospel. It was not given to you. So you didn't understand it. Jesus says these guys were guys who understood the way of salvation. They understood how important it was to building a house, a building, a place to live. You know, and both men had security in how they built their house. It's foolish for us to think that the foolish man said to himself, I'm going to build my house on this sand. When the rains come, it's going to blow it down and I'll lose everything, but that's okay. We know he didn't think that. He thought that what he was doing was secure, it was safe, it was going to work for him and his family. There's no indication that one house was built any better than the other. There's no indication that one builder was smarter than the other. He's talking about two people who profess to hear the word. They'd be like Christians today, if you will. You might say they were religious men. They were men who were well-liked in their community, perhaps. They were well-known. They were two guys, and if you looked on the outside, you'd say, you know what? Those are two guys who are just alike. They have the same beliefs and the same patterns. But Jesus says, on the outside is one thing, but on the inside is something different. And Jesus says, one is wise and the other is foolish. He says, not to obey me is foolish. And the word there simply means foolish or stupid. It's the word that we get moron from. He says, this is his thinking. It doesn't make sense. And he says to build on sand is really an attractive way to build. It doesn't take much to scratch out a foundation. It doesn't take a lot to pack it down. And you pack the sand down, it looks really good. You said, man, this is a hard foundation. I packed it in, you know. But the problem is it's extremely movable. Once water hits it, it just spreads. It may appear solid, but once the rains come, it's there. In fact, it's so much easier to build. One writer says, it's like us. We want a cheap membership. We want an easy membership in church. We want an easy commitment. We've got our baptismal card signed, and therefore we're going straight to heaven. That's just how the foolish person looks at it. You know, we've done those two things, and we're all there. He says, this is a little bit how the foolish person is. He wants an easy way. It's a superficial foundation. It's a superficial way to build. It takes little care, little effort, little money, and you have got something to show for it. It looks good from the outside. A superficial person does what's pleasing and enjoyable. Doesn't mean that it's right or it's true, but basically it serves self. See, Jesus was telling this parable, and the scribes and Pharisees, they were very much into outward expressions, outward keeping of laws and rules and the law. And Jesus says, they had a superficial understanding, if you will, of God. They had no heart for God. They had no morality in it. They had no sense of what God was saying. Obedience to the outward, but not the inside heart. So this would be the foolish builder. See, today we build our lives on sand, and it's so easy to fall for a false gospel. It's not true. Contrary to the Word of God. The Apostle Paul warned us that there will be false teachers who will come. And if you read the letters of Paul, it's all about false teachers who they come in and try to change who we are to believe something else. Jesus says, beware, for false Christ and false prophets will rise and will show signs and wonders in order to lead astray, if possible, the elect. That's our believers like us. It's possible that they will lead us away. The apostle John says, these things I've written unto you concerning them that would lead you astray. False teachers want to change how we view God. Just remember, the Supreme Court does not speak for God. It doesn't legislate morality. In fact, it can lead us in many different ways. You know, there are those who build their lives upon people and reality shows and things they see on TV, and their values are the values of their friends. In fact, they, you know, do it quite often. Well, if it wasn't okay, my friends wouldn't be doing it. Our young people struggle so much with what their friends do because they see their friends as friends and they see those things. Our society. Well, if it's good for society, it must be good for us. And what Jesus is saying is, false teachers will come to lead you astray. Sometimes we build our lives on family traditions. I've heard this over 30 years of ministry here. I've heard people tell me, well, my granddaddy gave this piece of land, and they built a church many years ago. And I want to say, well, what does that do with you? They're claiming their relationship with God based upon what their granddaddy did many years ago. How foolish it'd be for my children to claim their relationship with God based upon their father being a pastor. It's their decision they have to make. And sometimes we look at our traditions. Well, I grew up in the Christian church, or I grew up in the Baptist church. Well, you may have grown up there, but Jesus says it's more than just having affiliation. It's having a relationship with me. And then there are those who simply say, I'm just going to try it. I'm going to see what happens. I'm a good person. I'm going to really, you know, I live by the golden rule. You know, I can't live by the golden rule. I'm just not that good. I just don't live that way. I'd like to, but I don't. Martin Luther, the great reformer, was so caught up into keeping obedience. That one writer says that when he was a priest and he came for confession, they sent him home, and one priest said to him, "Go home, don't come back until you've sinned." Do you know what changed Martin Luther? When he began to live under grace. And it was not until that point that he realized it's the grace of God that saves us. It's not our obedience to laws that gave him peace in his life. Let me read something written by Arthur Pink. "They bring their bodies to the house of prayer, but not their souls. They worship with their mouths, but not in spirit and truth. They're sticklers for immersion, our early morning communion, yet take no thought about keeping their hearts with all diligence. They boast of their orthodoxy, but disregard the precepts of Christ. Multitudes of professing Christians abstain from external acts of violence, yet hesitate not to rob their neighbors of a good name by spreading evil reports against them. They contribute regularly to the pastor's salary, but shrink not from misrepresenting their goods and cheating their customers, persuading themselves that business is business. They have more regard for the laws of man than those of God, for his fear is not before their eyes." Jesus says, "You're foolish. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand." Jesus says there's another builder. See, Jesus has already outlined what it's like, and they understand what Jesus is saying. He says, "Therefore, everyone who hears the words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rocks." Wise is sensible, thoughtful, prudent. It doesn't mean that this guy was smarter at all than the other builders. No indication. Jesus is not saying that at all. But he says he was a wise builder. I know that this foundation of this church is a solid foundation because they began on this corner, began to dig out for the foundation. They thought it got it close enough. They put some iron rods down into the foundation and realized that it didn't go very far until there was a hollow point. And they had to come back and redig it and put more in. You never saw the foundation. It cost thousands of dollars to put a foundation under this building. But it was the prudent thing to do. Wasn't the easy thing, it was the prudent thing. And to dig down to the rock in Jesus' day was a hard thing. It required money and effort and time. It's the path, the narrow way, as Jesus would say, less traveled. Now here are two key words here, two action words. One is hear, and the other is obey. He says, to hear what I say. It means to take it in. This morning, when you leave here today, you will know what it means to accept Christ. Now, the issue is for you to act upon it. For us as believers, we will know what God wants us to do. Obey is to do that which God has taught us to do. See, obedience, we don't like that word very much. And when someone says you need to be obedient to God, we feel restrictions come upon us. We feel like for some reason God is limiting our fun and how he wants us to live. But see, he's talking about absolutes. He says it's absolute. I am the foundation. There's nobody else. There's no other way except for me. See, we don't like absolutes in society because we have to judge our life by an absolute. Truth is true regardless of when it comes about. And Jesus says, the absolute, the rock is me. What he's saying is this. You got to accept me for who I am and what I said. That's the absolute. Early in Jesus' ministry in Matthew, he was asking his disciples, well, who do the people say? And they gave a wide range of things. And people say this, and he looked and he says, well, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom for heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. He says the true mark of discipleship is not hearing. We all know, but it's obeying. True disciples are doers of the word. In James 1:22, but prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. He says for you to confess, to know Christ and to walk away and not do what he says, is you've forgotten what it's like. You don't understand to follow. John in chapter 2, I'm going to read from the message. Here's how we can be sure that we know God is the right way. Keep His commandments. If anyone claims, I know Him well, and does not keep His commandments, he's obviously a liar. His life doesn't match his words. But the one who keeps God's word is the person whom we see God's material love. This is the only way to be sure we're in God. Anyone who claims to be intimate with God ought to live the same kind of life that Jesus lived. He said the validation that you are a believer this morning is the Holy Spirit in you and your obedience to the word of God. Jesus says it's all about the foundation. Robbie Zachariah was on the campus of Ohio State University, and the Wexler Art Center is a masterpiece. I think we got there. Okay. The Wexler Art Center is a beautiful piece of architecture built on the University, Ohio State University campus. And Dr. Zachariah was going to speak there. As he drove by, the driver says, I want you to look over and I want you to see this. He said, this is a marvelous piece of work, a great architectural place for art. He says, there are pillows going up that doesn't support anything. There's no pattern to the building. There are stairs that go up and stop. And he says, the architect put it in postmodern philosophy. It's designed to go nowhere. Life went nowhere, and it's mindless and senseless. And Zachariah said to him, he says, did they do the foundation the same way? He said, oh no, you can't do that with the foundation. Jesus says, I am the foundation. He said, there's going to come a time in your life that there will be some floods and things will come. See, when he painted this word picture, they understood. In Palestine, there were a lot of dry creek beds. In fact, until the rainy season, they never came at all. And then he says, and then they come and they wash everything away. He says, those things are coming. It's not a matter of if, but it's when they're coming to your life. You remember Job? Job says, though he slay me, I will hope in him. It's going to come. Sometimes there are physical storms in your life. Sometimes you go to the doctor and he gives you the bad news. Sometimes you're just sick. Sometimes you have health issues that you can't resolve. Sometimes there are physical things. Sometimes they're financial. You lose a job, there's a setback, there's a cutback at work. Or you get retirement age far quicker than you thought you were going to get there. You know, Dave Ramsey says every 10 years, the average American will experience one financial setback in his life. Every 10 years. And that's true. You will. Relational. Maybe it's your marriage vows are tested, or maybe the fact is your children have moved away. Or they got married and you can't stand the son-in-law or the daughter-in-law. Let me give you a hint. This is not even in the sermon. This is a freebie. If your child loves them, you need to love them. Okay? That's a freebie. Write that down. You got something free today. Sometimes it's spiritual. You think God has forgot you. Things just keep hammering you over and over again. And you say, well, God, if you love me, it wouldn't be this way. By all means, our faith helps us walk through these things. But you know what? This probably is not what Jesus is talking about at all. He's talking about something even more. He's talking about eternity. He's talking about eternity. He says, that's the foundation for eternity is me. I am the rock. There's no other way around it. Someday, what you have built your life on, you will know in reality if it's worth the effort. Judgment day is coming. And that's what Jesus was telling them, that this is about judgment that's coming. You'll be proven that you're either the goats or you're the sheep. You're the wheat or you're the chaff. You're either part of God's family or you're not. All the things you built your life on, when judgment comes, it will show who you are. Jesus is very direct, isn't he? He's very harsh. He says there's only one way. All other is foolishness. I want to share two things as we close. There would cause for us to have a continued examination of who we are in Christ. Do you know we had communion today? But the Apostle Paul told us to examine ourselves before we take communion. If I have hatred in my heart, I probably shouldn't have communion. Paul says, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or you do not recognize that about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test. Look at your faith. Is it a life of obedience? Is it a life of perfection? Absolutely not. If you told me you lived the perfect Christian life, I would know you were lying. Automatically. Because we don't. But are you shooting for the mark? Is that your direction? And the second thing that we have to ask ourselves, we have to learn to practice what we hear and what we preach. Isn't that what Jesus says? It's not about the knowledge. It's not enough. It's the application. I have more knowledge than I do the application for. I don't need to pray for more knowledge. I need to pray for more application. Someday, Jesus said to those people on the Sea of Galilee, listening, that someday the foundation of your life will either prove it's rock or it's sand. If you want to survive the judgment day, it's me. You know, quite honestly and sadly, it bothers me sometimes when people tell me that they have a relationship with God. And I see no evidence of that relationship at all. No worship. No evidence of the Holy Spirit in their life. And I think, you know, it's a sad thing. There's no evidence that the Spirit lives there. Jesus says there's got to be something in your life. You know, and you look at, what are you raising your children on? What is the foundation for your life? What are you banking on eternity? Do you know some people say, when I die, I'm just going to wing it. We'll see what happens. Jesus said, you're a foolish man. You're a foolish person. Jesus says, I am the foundation for your life. Will you stand with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your word. And Father, your word is rather hard for us. It's an absolute. It's you or it's sin. And dear Heavenly Father, I lift up you, everyone that's hearing today. May we understand what you expect. And Father, for those that are searching for you, may they see the love that you have, that you sent Jesus to die for us. And Father, for us who have been Christians a long time, maybe some self-examinations in order. May your Holy Spirit, Father, just help us to examine who we are and what we do. And Father, may we be more like you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. This morning, we're going to give you an opportunity to take the next step in your faith, whatever that would be this morning.